Come and talk to me. Come and talk to me. Hello, 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 beautiful people. Bonjour, mes amis. Comment allez-vous? Je vais très bien, merci. Oh, yeah, your girl speaks some French, eh? Je parle un peu le français. Un peu. Welcome back to another episode of Not Your Average WCW, the podcast where we dive into the complexities of dating and relationships. I'm your host, Elspeth Chimenza, aka Lady E, and today we have an intriguing topic of discussion. But before we jump in, ladies, gentlemen, let's gather around, bring out those wine glasses with some wine. Don't worry, I'll pour some wine for you. And let's create the perfect ambience for our conversation. Okay, now that we are settled, let's get into it. So, lately I've been pondering upon the importance of getting to know someone on a deeper level. It's a journey that requires real face-to-face interaction. As much as digital communication has its merits, nothing beats the authenticity and intimacy of personal interactions. Two keywords, authenticity and intimacy. You know, I think I've said it before that I'm actually a tete-a-tete person. You know, I like face-to-face. Even when I've described my communication skills, I'm not really good. Not that I'm not really good, but I prefer... The only time I can actually articulate and verbalize myself via text is through my blogs, through my written work, like when it's blogs or, I think blogs are the best places where I really articulate myself, or poetry or songs. I'm not really good with text. I really don't even like text. As I've said before, I prefer actually voice notes, phone calls. Voice notes are for the cheaper side of it. I know that not everybody's, you know, is, you know, liquid like that, you know. Yeah, we're going through a recession. We've been going through a recession. So, yeah, I understand. So, let's do voice notes. Let's do WhatsApp call. Let's do Telegram, you know. But for those, you can have phone calls. I love phone calls, but better yet, I actually like seeing the person I'm talking to. I want to see their facial expressions when I say something, when we say, I really use facial expressions. And vice versa. I'd want you to see how I express myself, the passion I show, the things that I love, or maybe the vulnerability when I share the very deep and very personal aspects of me. So a while ago someone told me that they knew a lot about me more than I thought. I don't know if I should be saying this, but anyway, they're no longer a person of interest, so it's okay. But anyway, naturally, I asked how, half jokingly suggesting Google is the source. But to my surprise, they revealed that they had been inquiring about me from people within my inner circle, my friends. This sparked a fascinating discussion it made me really just come to this topic, you know, and think about the joys and dangers of inquiry. So today we'll explore this topic in the context of romantic relationships and life in general, but mainly, you know, relationships. So personal interactions provide an authentic experience where we can assess compatibility and chemistry firsthand. However, there are moments when we seek a deeper understanding of someone and turn to trusted friends within our inner circle for insights. AKA, I call them the board of directors. I think it's a topic of discussions for another time, and I'd really love to bring on guests, other people into the conversation about the board of directors. But otherwise, friends, family members, and even colleagues can offer their observations and perspectives. But it's important to approach this process with caution. While seeking insights from others can be beneficial, it also comes with potential pitfalls. People's opinions may be subjective or influenced by personal biases, leading to incomplete or inaccurate portrayals. Tell me about that. Relying solely on others' opinions can hinder our own judgment and prevent us from forming an authentic connection based on personal experiences. Striking a balance between gathering information and forming our own impressions is very important. It's crucial. I keep laughing, but there's so many elements of this conversation that I've actually then removed because I don't want to be one of those people who calls out people. It was just, you know, it was a discussion sparked by certain things, certain incidents, certain people. But I was just thinking about it, you know, people are good, but people can be malicious. Not all people are malicious, but it's dangerous to, I think there are more dangers in inquiring than the joys. You know, you ask, okay, so what is he like? Or what is she like? That's a very interesting perspective, and it's scary. I'm actually scared of character witnesses. I kid you not, if ever I was arrested or had a legal suit, I'm scared of honestly having, you know, good character witnesses. That just scares me. It's a conversation for another day, but I'm actually just thinking about it. But I'm good, people. I'm good. I'm thoroughly good. Angel good. Just ask Jesus. So let's break down some of the ways we can gather insights about someone's character. First up, we have our friends. I'll be there for you. Oh no, our friends, our trusted confidants who have witnessed witnessed us, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, they know the church mouse, they know the wildcat, like they know dimensions of who we are. So these people are able to provide our potential love interest in question with valuable insights, or even if they can provide us with it depends who's inquiring. It might be you about your potential love interest or your potential love interest about you. These character witnesses can share first-hand accounts of their interactions, giving us a more accurate understanding of the person's character. However, it's important to remember that everyone's experiences may differ, and considering multiple perspectives is key. And with that said, I also just then think about, let's talk about my offsite. Yeah, you know those remarks that someone, whether sober or after having one or two, happy juice, they just might say something, and it's something that you really, really didn't want your person to find out. And when I'm saying that, I'm actually thinking, I recently watched Joyride. I know Joyride came out sometime last year, but I recently watched it. So I was actually thinking of where these guys go to China, the ladies go to China, and then who's Lolo says something like, Anotara offside, like she says something, and then about Kat did not want her boyfriend to find out, her fiance. So you know the things, you know, because these are things certain things you want to ease your person into, you know. So You don't want someone just saying, oh, by the way, we got arrested when we were 22 or 25 or 28 or maybe last week, you know, and they'll be laughing about it, you know, like, no, and then we laughed about it, then we got bailed out, or, you know, just say these weird things. Oh, no, she's got a tattoo somewhere, or, oh, and that just these weird stories, you know, sometimes because maybe we've been friends for the longest time, maybe since high school, maybe since childhood, or maybe during college days. I know those are the hectic years. Well, once we start working, unless you are, I know people who work in the creative space tend to have very interesting stories. I know. They have interesting stories. So those are things that you might not want your potential person to know. So friends can be dangerous because with love, without malice, and I'm talking about the good friends. I'm not talking about the evil eye, the jealous, you know, the negative energy friends. I'm talking about, you know, the good old, you know, I'll be there for you. You can count on me. You know, you lean on me, friends. Yeah. Seeking the opinion of friends. So, yeah, such friends, they're very, very, very interesting. Then there's the aspect of friends of the opposite sex. I know most of us actually don't like it. And I know particularly men, good men, do not want, like, it when they're people have male friends, but we do know that they are dynamics of platonic relationships. So yes, we're talking about the platonic relationship. So when your person has good old platonic relationships where they could be brother and sister. Yeah, friends of the opposite sex can also, you know, provide a unique viewpoint, you know. They may offer insights into how the person interacts within a romantic context, providing a different perspective from our own gender. However, we must remember that their opinions are subjective and based on their individual experiences, as well as the problem with the friend zone, it's that zone where some people are actually waiting for everyone else to fail or to screw over the person of interest. Okay, I'll use myself as an example. If I had my male friends, in quotes, and then the guy is interested in me, and then he comes and he asks them, and maybe one of my guy friends is interested in me. He is likely to, he'll say something to put off my person because, you know, he's trying to increase his chances of being, of getting out of the friend zone and being in the zone. So those people are very, very dangerous. I know that there was a guy I was interested in, and I asked his female friend only for them to date later. I guess maybe naivety in my space, but maybe that that he and that lady already had a thing, but you get my point. Like the whole friends thing, the friends of the opposite sex, asking them. And those people are also dangerous. I think they're more dangerous than your own friends, saying the weird things. I think we can forgive each other. If you're a very judgmental person, then oh, wow. Oh, wow. You know? But, yeah. But if they're good friends, obviously, like I would, if I would maybe say, I would also want to pick, I would want to help my male friends, again in quotes, pick out really good people. Like, so if I see someone, I might say, oh, okay, she looks like good people. Let me give her insights on how to get into his graces or probably increase her chances with my friend. And, you know, Because I love a good love story and I love matchmaking. I think I've been a matchmaker for two or three couples. Out of those, I think two worked out. Everyone else ish. Yeah. The forces were against them. Their ancestors just didn't want. But, you know, it happens. You know, some stars align, some don't. But my point is, again, like what I've seen, whenever you're inquiring, take it with a pinch of salt. Another group, a very interesting group. Okay, family. Family is, I'm not sure if I want to delve into the concept of family, because family is very, it's a very nuanced section. You know, most family members don't like each other, like really don't like each other. And I think most of us come from unhealthy families. I'm not going to use the word toxic, because I think it's been overused and abused in mainstream media and in just general vocabulary. But yes, most of us don't come from very healthy families. So we tend to have, and we're still, if there's an healthy sibling rivalry. I come from a family of females and sisters. I know how that works. There is, most times, there's always that sometimes silent competition. And yeah, people tend to sabotage each other. So I really, really, in as much as family would be the great place to start, because these are people a person was, you know, raised, and you also want to see how they interact. I would want, as someone who's family oriented and wants a family, a bigger family, I would definitely want to see how my partner engages with his siblings, how he engages with his parents, how he engages with the external family, the extended family, since we are African. So how he treats his mamkurus, his sekurus, his maininis, his mbuyas, his vazukurus. So those, that's important to me, that I very much value, as well as how they set boundaries. Yeah, because some, that I know that's something that's very that's considered an African, but it's important to set boundaries. And yeah, so it's things like that. I want to see how they interact. So to some extent, family can be good, but I always fear, because I've seen it firsthand. Most people come from very unhealthy families. So you really, really, again, that's another inner circle group that when you're inquiring about your person, please take it with a pinch of salt. I think that particular group, take it with the smallest pinch of that pinch of salt. Another interesting group, our colleagues. Yes, because we spend most of our times at work, you know, with our workmates. I've actually discovered that most people actually end up having workmates as friends, because these are people you're spending most of your time with. Some people actually travel with their workmates most of the times, out of town, out of the country. They're doing these retreats. So there's a lot that happens with the word. And, you know, sometimes, especially if you, then this is when I use the word toxic. If you come in toxic workspaces, you might actually bond over the traumatic experiences that you have with the with management, with the executives, so they, you know, or even with colleagues, the overly competitive colleagues, you know, so you bond over that, and then there's this strong friendship there. Some people become even like family to each other. So because of that, I think the first place a person should actually ask, if you're going to inquire about someone, is actually the workplace. If they have a workplace, especially if they've worked there for over a year, you can't be asking about a place someone just started for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know. There's no, but over a year, it makes sense. You know, if they've been there over a year, then, you know, you're able to formulate some certain opinion. Remember, dating, I view dating as in collecting data. Data. Yeah. So, yeah, I think workplace, you know. I don't know. Tell me what you think. But I believe the work. So colleagues can also offer insights into a person's professional demeanor, their work ethic, and interpersonal skills. This can be particularly helpful if we are considering a long-term relationship with someone we met perhaps in a professional setting, or even if we didn't meet them in a professional setting, but just understanding who they are in that setting. But again, like every other group of people that I've mentioned, we must be cautious as workplace dynamics can differ from personal relationships, and people may behave differently in different environments. As well as remember that there are biases. Workplaces are, again, most are trying, they're attempting to have safe spaces for good mental health, but the truth is most workplaces are just generally toxic. There's a lot of their biases. So you might talk to a workmate who really just doesn't like your person, and they'll say the worst things to sabotage that person, because already they're trying to sabotage that person within the workplace so that they get them fired, or they make sure that that person doesn't get a promotion or a raise. So yeah, workplaces are just, they're just not it. But it's not a bad space to ask. Again, as I said, I think this, because this is the place where most people spend most of their time, you know, including their overtime. So you definitely might get some insight to your person. While asking others about a person's character can provide valuable information, it's essential to balance it out with our own judgment and intuition. Getting to know someone is an intentional action that requires up close and personal interaction. We should use the insights from others as a guide. Note the word guide. But ultimately, we must trust our own instincts and observations. Yeah, I think it's best to just observe someone, not stalking them. Give them 10 minutes of your time and ask them their favorite flowers, their favorite band. I know we always told, no, don't ask those stupid questions. But yeah, ask them their favorite color in white's their favorite color. Ask them about their favorite band or singer or artist. If they are into music, favorite sports. Then go into the deeper things, their political views. Their thoughts about maybe a certain topic, you know, a certain topic of something that's trending in pop culture, and see where their head is at, you know, and even their dreams and aspirations, because that is where you then pick up, you know. I always have a saying that you can't put more vision to no vision. You can tell a person with enough focus. You can tell if a woman is a Proverbs 31 woman, if she's a high value woman, you can tell a man of vision, you know, a leader, from the things he says, the things he aspires for. He doesn't have to have a white collar job. He can even be a mechanic. He can even be, you know, he could just be doing things that are not, in quotes, high value per se. You know, they're not those corporate jobs, the high office jobs. But from the things he says, the things he aspires, where does he love to hang out? Is he in Rotary? Does he love to play chess? You know, okay, I'm into guys who play chess because my dad used to play chess. It's just hint, hint. But they enjoy crossword puzzles and Sudoku. Just saying. But my point is, you can tell a lot about a person, you know,
So it's not like you're saying, oh, by the way, I want to date you. You might be interested, but just assess them. Then you make a move from the data that you've gathered that, oh, maybe, yes, I would like to then pursue something serious with this person or whatever intentions they have. But I always believe that, you know, I believe in ICE, intention, commitment, and effort. So using our ICE policy here on our podcast and on from our MPV, My Point of View blog, you know, you pick up the data you need and you see if they align, you know, if the person aligns with what you are looking for, who they are. And then you move on from there. So as we explore the joys and challenges of asking about someone's character, let's turn our attention to some songs that perfectly encapsulate the essence of this topic. So, the weird thing, apart from what happened, that incident with the individual who inspired this episode about inquiring about me, I actually was thinking, and then, you know, I was thinking, I had picked out Pink's Words at my worst. And at my worst, I think I started loving that song more because of watching Home, what's it called? Why am I forgetting the show's name? Why am I forgetting the name? Anyway, when the part where they sing, I need somebody who can love me at my worst. And you know, the idea that, you know, you definitely want someone who then loves you, who cares about you, who sees you for who you are, the good, the bad, the ugly. I also love Ariana Grande's POV. I was actually playing it before I started recording this podcast. I love that song. I love POV. You know, like, I love when the part which says, I want you to love me. I wanna love me the way you love me, you know. So it's more of, I want to be a better version and love a better version of me because of how you perceive me. So I love that. And then Beyonce's Flaws and All. You know, there was a whole long list, but these were songs that actually then made me think, oh, okay, you know, when you're looking at the concept of inquiring about someone, getting to know someone, and, you know, these songs remind us of the importance of seeing someone's true character, putting in the effort. Yes. Ding, ding. I really, really need a bell. I need a bell. Putting in the effort to understand them and embracing the joy that comes from genuine connections, you know. And genuine connections don't come from you asking someone, oh, okay, what's her favorite color and or whatever, or asking certain things, and then someone says, I know, you know, she's cool people, she's chilled, you know, she's quirky, or she loves anime, or she's a very good poet, or something like that, you know. Weirdly enough, I'm actually describing myself to some extent. My mind is just drifted off because now in my head, you know what's playing. I need somebody who can love me at my worst. Love that song. I love it. It's such a sweet song. And like, even because I do love Kehlani, like, I'm a fan, like, there's a sweetness to that, her voice has that sweetness, and the melody is very, it's very, 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 it's very sweet, it's very, very sweet, you know. I'm feeling all fuzzy now that the song keeps playing in my head. the song is playing in my head. But remember, it's always important to approach the process of getting to know someone with an open mind and a willingness to form your own impressions. While seeking insights from others can be valuable, it's ultimately your own experiences and interactions that will provide the most authentic understanding of someone's character. So yeah, that's the task you have. How are you going to inquire about the person you're interested in? Are you going to continuously ask the inner circle and then formulate your decision based on what they say? And then maybe even sit with your board of directors and you miss out. You know, sometimes we miss out on an opportunity of someone who could actually be your person, your soulmate, because based on biases, external biases, instead of just getting to know a person and just say to yourself, I could see myself with them, you know? And I could see myself with them. It might not even subscribe to the norm, you know? They might not even subscribe to what you like. They might be outside your race. They may be outside your culture, your religion. Although those are very important aspects because those are what usually bind us. But sometimes, you know, I just believe that your person just strikes out. Like they really stand out, not strike out. They stand out. So they're standing out is really, it's wild. It's wild, wild, wild. Like literally out of your norm, out of even what you'd in quotes say your type, you know? So yeah, and while this we're talking about that, I keep saying to people, we need to unlearn our types because our types are what is killing us from actually having fulfilling relationships. I've unlearned my type. We're having a conversation with my sister that, oh, you have a type, you like creatives, you like people in the industry. And I'm like, no, that was me 4 or 5 years ago, a decade ago. I've not dated anyone in entertainment or another creative. Yeah, for me, it's been mostly, yeah, it's definitely no one. My experiences of, you know, of my journeys now has been different. I've actually removed that type. I unlearned that type. I've intentionally chosen that I'm going to... We start from occupation, that I will remove a certain type. And then after occupation, it's also then physical aspect. I know it sounds weird, like when I'm discussing about unlearning types. But what I'm saying is I'm no longer looking at, oh, is he a particular aesthetic? What attracts me to a person now is more personality and how they make me feel. Do I feel comfortable? Do I feel reciprocated to? Is my love reciprocated? Do they give me security in all aspects of my life? Do we share values? Do they make me laugh? So that's what I now value. I don't, while this aesthetic is important, this is a topic for another day, but what I'm just saying is to unlearn, yeah, unlearning our types. So again, inquiry is good, but it's also, it's good. It adds to our data, but again, as I said, let's value getting to know a person. Tete-a-tete, face-to-face. Give them 10 minutes of your time. Time is a very important thing. And if they're really someone you're into, giving them your time is giving them pretty much a lot. But if you're not interested, then it's okay. You can do your inquiry, but don't tell someone that I know a lot more about you than you think when you don't know. Like personally for me, you don't know me. You don't know how I look like when I ugly cry. You don't know when I'm vulnerable, you don't know what lights me up, you know, when I have passion. You don't know who's really in my inner circle, who's really, really in my inner circle, who is the one friend if I'm in trouble I'm going to call, who is the one family member I will lay my life for, who's the maternal, paternal figure that I revere the most. You don't know that, so you can't say you know me. You don't know me. You've not seen what my uncle calls the zombie, where when frustrated, my reaction, do I have fright or flight in terms of conflict? So yeah, those. It's interesting to assume that you know a person, but again. Give a person 10 minutes of your time, but if you're really interested, 10 minutes will actually turn into hours. 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 As I'm saying that, I'm thinking of Money Long. I love Money Long. Oh, funny thing, I actually learned about Money Long. Not that I didn't know Money Long, but I just discovered my daughter has a lot of Money Long in her playlist. Should I be worried? But I actually was listening to her playlist. I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, oh. I know a few songs, you know. I knew a few songs, you know, the mainstream. But, like, I then started listening to Money Long. I was like, oh, wow. I'm like, yeah. So, yeah, it can be hours and hours of getting to know someone, and those hours will turn into days, days into months, months into the time when you say I do. Don't worry, it's the romantic in me that's just saying that. Anyway, you tell me, who holds the key to you knowing the person that you are interested in, you know? Anyway, that's all the time we have for today's episode of Not Your Average WCW. I hope you enjoyed our discussion on the joys and dangers of inquiry. Hashtag come and talk to me. Come and talk to me. I love Jodeci. You know, I love the come and talk. But I also love the version on Star. Come and talk to me. Love their version. I love come and talk to me. I'm a Jodeci girl. A conversation for another day. Remember to trust your own judgment and intuition while seeking insights from others. Thank you for joining me. And until the next time, remember a favorite say, P.S. always write your own love story. Ciao.